I'm your host, Rena Friedman Watts, and this is the Better Call Daddy Show.
Hey, this is Big Daddy, Wayne Friedman.
That's my grandpa. Grandpa, you ready for more daddy drama?
My dad is my number one hero and number one fan.
And I'm a pretty cool dude.
All right, season four, baby, here we go.
More stories you're not going to believe.
And maybe you will after you listen.
5 stars.
5.5 stars, 2 thumbs up.
You are a pretty cool dude.
Love you, Mommy.
Don't stand on the table and damn the public. You'll get some words of wisdom to live by.
Here we go again. Better call Daddy.
You know what your problem is? You like me.
Yeah, I do. Each week, I interview a guest, share the stories with my dad, and then he weighs in at the end of every episode with his wisdom and wit.
Hey, Grandpa.
Everyone from influential players to inspirational fathers and, of course, controversial people.
Grandpa, my mom is calling.
Creating that legacy one call at a time. And welcome to the Better Call Daddy Show.
Stay tuned.
Where's the music?
Better call Daddy because he knows you best. Better call Daddy because he's bringing the test. He sees possibilities. Better call Daddy, you're the apple of his eye. He sees possibilities. All to be.
If you want to have a podcast, start by sharing your interests. Today's guest, Cam Sully, host of the Jacked Up Review podcast show, shares his interests of film, food, and music. And he says you can too. Cam, welcome to the Better Call Daddy show. Security guard by night, podcaster by day.
It's kooky, isn't it?
Yes. How do those two things mesh?
Surprisingly well. Both require a lot of order and just kind of being patient with everyone.
I love that. Do you have a taser?
Oh, hell no. Because in order to get one, you'd have to actually be tasered.
No way. Really?
That's what I've heard. Like, if you have to use pepper spray, you have to actually do a pepper spray test to see your endurance to it. But it's all good. Mobile security is pretty much about just reporting issues, walking around, going to safe areas if there's trouble. It's not like the movies where you're the suspicious guy who gets shot in the first act, you know?
Oh, my God. Well, speaking of movies, you did study film.
Yes, ma'am. And it was... I should have probably just done associate college when I look at it back in hindsight, because it was a real sham of a college. It just did not have a big turnout unless you were in engineering.
What did you learn, though, that you still use?
I learned improv from the theater department. It wasn't my major, but it was good because it allows you to make split decisions and you don't get stuck up. You don't have to wait on permission. You don't have to really be left by yourself in the wind. Iceland.
Yeah. Speaking of being left in the wind and going where the wind blows, I know that's something that you said that you're doing a little bit as the oldest child.
Yeah. I just take my time with it, really. I keep making new contacts. I stop asking for permission to exist now.
Talk to me about feeling like having to ask permission in the past to exist. And like, what is it like being the oldest child and having expectations on you?
It's a lot because there's different things. Siblings do better than you do. And then it's kind of a matter of, I kind of, at this stage of the process, kind of have decided to just lead by example in terms of just different ways instead of, hey, I'm going to do this before you do, so to speak. So, like, I'm going to, you know, my brother's already engaged and he's 4 years younger than me, but that doesn't play into how I'm going to do and live my life, for instance. I might still be a single dude. But it's interesting in that, yes, I feel like we all get kind of caught up in just, you should do this, you should do that, you're the first, so therefore you can't be the last. And it's really all bogus. It's kind of just as bad as all the macho gay talk. Like, hey, you got to do this, you got to do that. And it's like, well, no, you don't have to do that.
I love that. I think that we feel pressure to like be on other people's timetables. And what happens when we stop living that way?
Totally. And it's like we kind of lock up. That's all we view ourselves as. And it's like, well, there's so many different ways people view you. Where's this coming from?
Yeah. What other questions have you asked yourself? Like deep questions. I know too that you told me that you started going to a therapist and that you probably should have even done that sooner.
Eons ago. Yeah. Basically, you're stuck just wondering. We like to kind of, now I'm going to say this fragilely, kind of almost victimize ourselves. And it's just like, no, you're not a victim. You know, nothing. Well, maybe in certain cases, certain people did have something bad happen to them. But just, again, don't just assume that every therapist, every person who's going to listen to your story is just there to collect a paycheck and watch you sob. No, that's not the case. There's plenty of well-reviewed ones. And again, if you just feel like they are not listening to you, you can always get a new one. But it is worth the time and effort. And just saying, I don't have enough money, really, that's then start saving. And instead of just coming home from work angry at everybody and asking them to hear your sob story. No, you should absolutely. If there is something that's totally annoying you, you're not sure how to communicate it, just sit down, have someone describe this, and really ultimately just choose to just showcase the cons in your life, the issues that do not go away. You've tried locking them up and they kept exposing themselves at, you know, inappropriate times. Don't lock it up anymore. Just, if anything, it lets you orchestrate and choreograph a reaction to it, a new kind of mechanism that you didn't realize you had because you're so busy bottling all this junk up. You know, that's all you're thinking. That's all you're feeling, junk. And it's so worth it, I think. So many people just do the macho toxic masculinity thing. And it's just like, no, yeah, that's already wrong. You should be absolutely forthcoming. You should be more honest. You should stop assuming that everyone is dumb when you can't even describe what's on your mind. Yeah.
Yeah. I appreciate that, actually. What were you compartmentalizing?
I would get wigged out and annoyed by just the most minor stuff. And I knew it was minor. And I think that's what was even more annoying. I knew how annoying and dumb it was. And I just got even more annoyed. And I'm like, well, but the main deal was just kind of with combating sleep. I was having to work out and add more fitness into my routine at this stage of my life in my 30s. And I was like, well, but you should also, clearly there's just other little minor things that are becoming big things. And you should share those and keep having little future life goals. And they taught me about assertive communication, which was pretty much just take the blame or the lose win out of anything from a conversation to an argument. Just say, hey, you want me to do this, I want to do that, let's find a half road instead of just flaking out or coming up with a white lie to diffuse it. Actually solve it, find a segue, find a train that you guys can both ride, you know. And it's been wonderful. I haven't had as much time to use it, but every once in a while I had done stuff like that on minor occasions, like, hey, you want me to work on this film project? I'm not your guy. I know someone else who can do this. But now I think when you're using it in regular day-to-day jobs, as well as anything from a party to some family event, everyone should use assertive communication. Just instead of the me game or the blame game, just, hey, I can't do that, but I can do this, and I can do that, and I can do this other thing that you also want to do. There's so many different examples of it. Instead of, hey, I can't make your party, but I can invite you to this party, how about, hey, you want me to come to this event? I don't want to go to that event. I agree with it, disagree with it politically or socially. How about we go to this event that you and I both like to attend? You know, just something to just offset, just, we can't work this out.
Yeah, I love the idea of assertive communication and just kind of testing the boundaries there and seeing how people respond to that after you used to potentially be like a people pleaser.
Yeah. Well, what is being a people pleaser at this point? I'm sure you've had to do it plenty of times in your reality TV side alive and you're like, what am I doing with my life today? That's not what I want to do.
Yeah, I think in order to climb the ladder in any industry, it requires doing what other people want versus what you want.
Absolutely.
But I like the idea of middle ground. That sounds a heck of a lot better.
There's no way to really lose. But at that point, you also will really get an idea for, okay, nothing against this person. They really are this stubborn. If they are only this, if they're still doing the do or die approach, you know, there's so many ways around it. Hey, let's go to this restaurant. I can't eat at that restaurant. It makes me puke. You know, how about we go to this restaurant, which you and I both like? Hey, I want you to go to these two movies with me. I hate that genre. How about we go to this movie instead? You know, just there is a workaround. And it's almost like the teacher versus the student kind of approach. You would always hear and either side be very bitter to the other, kind of treated as the enemy. Like, oh, that teacher sucks. Or, oh, those students could not learn to save their life and I'm the teacher. You know, it's just, you got to take out the blame. And I used to have a aunt who is no longer with us, who kind of drove my uncle insane. But truth be told, he's just as bad as her. He kind of adopted her qualities, which was she would do the blame game, but she would act like you meant to harm her. You meant to hurt her. And it was like, no. Like, they would do this, especially when they would order pizza. They would act like, that pizza guy, that ruined me. It's like, no, he was late. He didn't have the order right. Not his bad. That's the kitchen's fault. And they still need a tip. It's just business. Just file a complaint. It won't happen again. He wronged me. He does not deserve a tip. It's like, no. Maybe tip less, but... And they didn't get it. They just... They were so full of themselves, and they still kind of do a lot of this. And it's just like, no one goes out of their way to harm you. You view it that way, but that's inaccurate. I don't know if you've had anyone like that before, and they just assume that, hey, this person has the worst in store for me.
Yeah, I think some people never realize that.
I don't know why you would want to assume that anyone who's making a living just has the worst intention for you.
Yeah, I also would like to talk about, since you're talking about assertive communication, how you said that your mom taught you about white lies, but yet your dad taught you about honesty. Yes. I think that that's super interesting. Can you weigh in on that?
Absolutely. It really was not that contrarian as one would think. It was more of a matter of where it was just like, hey, you know, your word is your bond. And my mother was kind of more like a gentle tiptoe for... give a half truth, but I wouldn't say she was a liar in any way capacity. I know that sounds rhetorical, but if you're still with me, just follow through. It's just kind of one of those where it was just like, hey, if you're in it, we're all going to be in an uncomfortable situation, which ultimately leads to the, I don't want to do this, you know, not my goal, I'm not going to do it. And it can be hard to just kind of reword it, but there is a way to give, you know, a white lie again, it's not meant to harm. But you could even argue that many government officials do white lies, but more often than not, they also do some really messed up lies. It's like, yeah, you flat out loud did not follow through with your promise, but to where you might as well have not done it at all. But a white lie was just useful for me for if you were having peer pressure at school, like, hey, let's do this. You're not the cool kid if you don't want to do this. It's like, well, I can be cool, but I'm not going to do that. I think it's dumb. And... it would be the matter of, hey, I got a party coming up. And it's like, well, half true. You're just going to a family event. It's kind of a party. So no harm done versus no, you flat out were going out of town. Just say that. But my father was more into the just be on time. Being late once is really all it takes. And it wasn't to the matter. It helped that my sister and I also would take the same car to school. And so, you know. For college. And, you know, she was always late to class and I was out instantly running to class. And so it was interesting how everyone, again, how you act early on does determine how you act later on. I never did the approach of, hey, you're not on my schedule, therefore you're on the bad. I never was the engaging type, but I was kind of I got 20 different reasons why. And ultimately, I found out the hard way, that still doesn't matter. You pretty much need one reason. And at the end of the day, it leads to the same conclusion. hey, you're not our guy, or you are our guy, but we want to go with someone else. It's hard to do. It really is hard to do, because I think we bottle up all this energy and we get annoyed. I think it helped me, especially when I was doing job interviews. You know, it's always a terrible time when you're out of work and you're looking for work. But it's also annoying in that you don't know what qualities you're lacking and how much of that is someone just... This is what's annoying too, that often, would you say you encounter a lot of white lies at a job interview? I would say you do, but do you think so?
I think that you almost have to do it in order to get the position.
It's kind of a half-truth, and they're already giving you a half-truth, which is doing you a disservice, because that could literally be the skill set that you lack and you're doing more of, but that's denying you your next few dozen job interviews. And it's just annoying because you just wish someone would spill the beans. Hey, I think you lack, you know, you have these qualities, but this and this are not cutting the mustard when it comes to this job skill. And it's like, okay, I wish you had told me that. I might work on more of that. So I do have that in my list of job skills. But you ultimately have to kind of just, you, it's kind of like when actors are learning a script, you have to have your own script. And it can't sound rehearsed, and it can't just be whatever, you know, economics professor or your relatives thought you should say. You don't know until you know. You pretty much have to keep going in and out and going about it. Sometimes stuff that would be an instant no-no isn't even remotely frowned upon, or sometimes just you will get something as dumb as, hey, I just don't like your face, so you're dismissed. It's like, okay.
I can't change that.
Very constructive of you. Thank you.
Well, tell me how you landed Cheaters. I mean, and how fun that was.
Yeah, that was an easy $200. And I knew other people who said they used to pay $400. It is filmed in Dallas, and it was a fun paid reality gig, because ultimately you have to just... I got it through another pal, and ultimately you are just talking about that, just like you're in a mock, you know, relationship and what and so forth. And they disguise it often on, you know, Craigslist and such as, hey, a game show, do you know someone who's been wronged? You know, they really are cryptic on it, and it takes a while for you to realize, oh, they're talking about this and that. And other people got it, and Alex, the producer, is a really nice guy. Most people, you know, they tell you up front, don't talk about it, don't talk about it, but they know you're going to talk about it. They just don't want you to post any clips or photos of it, but they've got that figured out too. Often the minute they see something on Facebook, they'll take it down. YouTube is almost always forming a channel, but they have it in a way where they can somehow recognize it.
And do you feel like you learned anything from that experience?
I did. I mean, I already knew reality TV was scripted. I'm sure you did too, but I found it just easier to just at least... We had one actress come in, and she wanted to hustle the producer, and the producer was not having it. He's just like, you have a simple thing. You've decided to do a stalemate by refusing to show, and we had to refilm a segment all over again. And he's like, yeah, just don't bother coming in. And she was acting like, oh, you should hear my side of it. And, you know, I had seen her on some other film set. She was a total troublemaker. She was one of those just hustlers who would act like someone wronged them. And Alex is very professional. Nothing sleazy or stupid about the way he works. He just has a private studio, and the other producer does a lot of the editing and video assemblage, and they hire a crew that, you know, does the whole, the breakup squad, they call it, I think. You know, just getting all, you know, I think they're all actual security people for private institutes, and I just loved how they would kind of give us a mild headset saying, say more of this, say more of that, you know, and it wasn't like some of these other reality shows that have gotten in trouble where they're encouraging conflict and they're encouraging you to do something that is just going to get in some legal hot water.
It's amazing how well received it is with all of those pieces.
Mm-hmm.
People know that it's fake and they still love it.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. They eat that up. They love it. They think it's just very interesting how you basically got to just, it's pretend fighting, really. That's kind of the amusing part of it.
Oh, my God. is fame all that it's cracked up to be? Like, what was your reactions with your friends and family to you doing that? Did you get some accolades?
No. Well, I did have my uncle who was being sarcastic, and he was like, yeah, no, Rollo would be jealous. But no, there were other people who were guffawing at it too. It's like, yeah, you know, there's nothing really risque about it. It's just stupid. And it's just funny how, you know, much like you've known people who have been on, you know, Jerry Springer or some of those other, even a millionaire show, really. It was kind of that kind of thing where it's like, hey, 5 minutes of fame, you know, just joking about it. And it's not easy to describe. And there are several times where you go, what the hell am I doing with my life just to make an easy buck? And no one got hurt. I think that's the funny thing. We're making it look like a lot of people got hurt, but really, no, no one got hurt.
Oh my God, that's great. And I am curious too. So you've been podcasting for a while. Let's talk a little bit about that. Yep. What motivates you to podcast?
Storytelling. I think whether it's movies or TV, you always have just, if you feel you want to talk about something, make it your mission. The appeal of it will really gravitate to people, whether it's something obscure you're talking about that people thought they were the only one who remembered, whether it's a book, movie, TV, music, it all runs together in that you have to decide how you want to do this. And I had been in some other podcasts with some other pals, and all I was doing was bitching because I had to drive there. The female host was not doing her thing, and the male host running the show was too worried about the video playback. And I was just like, let's do one thing at a time and then stretch ourselves. But I get it. You know, like, everyone's got their own formula and you want to stick to it. You want to be honest with yourself. But if it's eating up a lot of your time and you're just not pleased with the turnout, then just do your own thing. And so I just figured, hey, I'm seeing how long it takes to do this and that. Some people can do the weekly basis thing, you know, and not everyone can do that. There's almost always someone who's like, once a year, you know, your computer craps out on you, or you just can't make that deadline for whatever reason. So I just said, I'm not going to put myself in that situation. I am going to keep staying busy with this. And just sure enough, I just got so many bloggers, online pals, in-person pals, and we just had no problems doing our Zoom chats. I'm definitely going to work on some audio dramas. I've been inspired by that with a few other people. And it seems like that's a good workaround too, because that's just people in a room having the voice reinforce a character instead of worrying about how it visually looks. Also, I'm sure you know it. It's just easier to have some ego built up or overthink shit that's not problematic, you know?
But I also love the idea of, if something's not working, but you still love aspects of it, to find another way.
You have to. I think people who want to adapt really help themselves grow. They really allow themselves to not have as many obstacles to overcome. I mean, and it's interesting too, what stuff that you think doesn't have any precedence, but it really does.
Like?
Oh, everything from cash register duty to video editing to being an intern at a radio station. You get a recipe for how sound design works. It can also be bigger stuff like just, you know, economic studies to social skills. And especially charisma will get you so many places, because now you're kind of just, you're not focusing on putting on a show. You're focusing on standing out, because you've heard all the same stuff you blabbled about before as a starting point.
That is interesting. Yeah. Have you thought about ways to stand out?
Yes and no. I think I was just worried about doing a good job first. And I think that's easy for many people to fall into, because, you know, you're not doing a good job. You get told, hey, I want you to put in your 2 weeks' notice. Oh, shit. And I was mainly, I think, too concerned with that. But when you just kind of keep working on people's skills, you pretty much become, you feel less restricted. And I think it's easier to just feel more freed up, more natural. And I applaud anyone to take any kind of economic or social studies or even a theater class, because so many of those classes are taken by so many of the same people, because they're all trying to learn skills that they don't have, and also have it be part of their personas instead of part of the hustle, part of the job.
Oh, yeah. Are you doing that currently?
Definitely with some of the therapy, ironically, it's just because you learn how to just, again, communicate better. Because much like anything, producing, acting, it can be easy to just kind of assume that, hey, I've done that skill set for the last 20 years. I don't need to refresh. It's like we all need a refresher, truth be told. I hate to say it, we do. It's easy to be stubborn, but also, I mean, think of it like when you see retired people who are bored and they're taking a college class for fun, and ask yourself next time you see an event like that, how many of them are actually going there because they actually desire to learn versus they're just killing time? You know, their kids are away, they have nothing going on. And truth be told, we always need something going on. I don't know if you've had any relatives. I've had my share of relatives who are kind of just beside themselves. They don't really know what to do besides turn on CNN or Fox News or something stupid on TV and then go to bed. And it's like, well, and I think I learned a little bit of that before I got into security. It's like, okay, you got a stable job now. Everyone's pleased. You're pleased, but you're not pleased with the outside life. You still got to have something going on. And COVID was another barrier. And I was just like, you know, I did not get sick, but so many others I knew did get sick, and often for the dumbest reasons. But hey, you know, it was bound to happen. Eventually, we're all going to probably get a flu, and we're just going to be like, ah, what do I want to be doing right now besides coughing and sleeping all day in bed? You know, it just doesn't cut the mustard. It just doesn't. Just like you love it when you have an unsung Samaritan who's paying it forward, you should also still, you know, we all got to make extra time for us and each other, but we should also just keep making use of that daily calendar. You know, instead of going instantly on Instagram, you should be looking at your calendar. What do I have lined up the next 5 days, let alone the next month? Look forward to it.
I love that advice. Have you seen your parents reinvent themselves at all?
Always. My father is always doing some biohacking, and I'm doing much of the same thing where I take some charcoal pills and just make extra time to just kind of fix myself up in the morning. You know, and I think so many of us, we like to just get a quick shower and then, you know, run to work, you know, but that just builds up more stress. You know, just take those extra 20 minutes for you instead of lazing in bed longer. You know, you need that. You know, after we're done with this interview, I'm going to still do another chunk of my workout, and that's going to be great because I'm going to sleep like a baby tonight. But I see so many others who are like, oh, you interrupted my flow, I guess I'm done for the day. It's like, well, it doesn't have to be.
I love that attitude. Is there anything that your parents have taught you that you want to carry on?
Definitely communication. My mother is all about, she'll bring a lot of her online and old college pals to various family events. And I kind of like that same sense of just comforts for everybody. Just reminding everybody, hey, ain't going to be all, let's do something fun today. Hey, I know you're not immediate family, but how about you come over to this Thanksgiving? You know, how about you hang out with us since you don't have anyone who you hang out with on this holiday, and make the holiday about you. You see so many people who refuse to participate in Christmas, or like, oh, it's a corporate holiday. And like, I get that, but I want you to be over here just so we can all, you know, sip the same beer or talk about what we're going to do the next year. You know, just something that makes it more personal, and instead of just locking down, going to online on social media and complaining about it. It's like, well, that doesn't do you any good. Oh yeah, I'm venting. No, you're really not venting. It's been a tick to everyone else, because we all want validation. And I hear that word time and again, just on any pep talk. And it's just like, yeah, we do want validation. So kind of like how you're trying to find a place that gets what you want, you know, just like we're trying to find foods that are healthier, entertainment that's actually entertaining to us, recreational events that aren't a chore, that don't bust our wallet. Just keep finding little just small things that don't rock your world, but do captivate you.
I love that. And speaking of things that captivate you, we also talked about perhaps you coming up with a checklist for determining what movies are worth going to.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. You have any suggestions there?
Absolutely. So the average person will look at the trailer. Don't look at the trailer. Look at the plot description. Does it sound generic? Does it sound engaging? Obviously, most of you will probably go blindly in because you like the talents involved. Go for more than that. Like, instead of just getting all annoyed, hey, my favorite critic didn't like it, but I still want to see this, or I'd love to see this, but tickets are too expensive. And it seems like we have so many barriers. So I just say, you know, time is money. Do you want to see this in the theater, you know, opening day versus on high quality, you know, 4K Blu-ray? Just gauge what kind of movie that is. But do not look at just the trailer. You know, it's not this in-studio thing anymore. It really doesn't tell you anything you need to know, or it tells too much. And just look at the plot description. Does that sound anything like something you otherwise would see? You see so many who will blindly go in and they hate these kinds of movies. I'm like, well, just because, you know, Christopher Nolan was slapped on there, or your favorite actress or comedian is attached to it, doesn't change anything. Oh, yes, it does. No, it really ultimately does not, because you are still bitching and you are still angry at the time you wasted on this thing, which could have been spent elsewhere. But yeah, is it worth your time? Do you want to just wait to stream, buy at a discount Blu-ray store, or see in theaters? Is it a genre you already like or already don't like? You know, it's like, I personally wait for the hype to die down. Yeah, you know, there's so many great movies that are out but aren't playing at your art house theater, so you're going to have to wait a while on some of the Italian or Swedish foreign filmmakers' material to come out in the following year. And, you know, unless you're doing this for a blog, you know, I see so many people who are just ripe and ready to talk about something that just came out. It's like, well, this thing is going to take a lot of processing. And if, I mean, Rotten Tomatoes just got in a scandal where they had a lot of people who were in on the take. They've been saying that for years, but at least it's now on the record. But I see so many other people, they get so annoyed. They're like, well, I don't watch anything below 40 or 50% on there. It's like, and then you see others who don't care. I'm like, just go in blind. It's just going to affect you one way or the other, but it shouldn't, because you got to speak with your gut.
I love that. And talk to me about what's next for you as far as your podcast and what you're building.
You know, I wouldn't be against meeting up at one of those live convention places where people do like Q&A panels for some special event together, some cool crossover thing. I'm mainly at this point just want to keep getting more awesome guests to speak to, or just more crossovers. I've already been on over 30 different podcasts, but it's not, you know, anyone can do that. That is not written in stone. It's all very, I'm going to keep reaching out to other people, and I kind of do it on a regular basis, but I might do different methods in which I do it and reach out. But I'm pretty much just like any of these conversations, there's no shortage to anything fun that you guys can talk about and conjure up, and I'm no exception. I'd love to just pick each other's brains. It's just so relieving.
100%. I heard someone say yesterday that every follower has a story. Every follower is a human and a person and a new opportunity and possibility. Mm-hmm. And I love that.
Why live with the regret that, hey, I didn't get to hang out with these cool cats?
Well, let people know how they can hang out with you and connect with you and find you online.
Absolutely. My name is Cam Soli, and I am part of the Jacked Up Review Show. We are a variety, so we talk music, film, social, sometimes politics, but there's something for everybody. We've even talked about our favorite kinds of food, you know, by preference, and like, these are the best and worst pizza joints we've been to. It was always just interesting to just kind of have a natural sit down. And honestly, everybody, if you have a blog that you want to start, if you have a t-shirt company you want to form, just anything, just go out and do it. The only person stopping you ultimately is you. And I know we find that hard to believe. We're like, oh, no, but there's these preferences. It's like, make a plan, try it out. Don't live with the regret that you didn't do it. Or, well, this person did it. They've oversaturated the market. It's like, you don't know how long you'll be doing it.
I love that. Thank you so much, Cam, for coming on the Better Call Daddy Show.
Thank you.
You've heard from my mom. Now, let's switch it over to Grandpa.
All right, so we're listening to Cam. And really, his outlook to life, to where he has a chance to not feel any pressure or any criticism or any expectations about himself, where he can just be feel free and loose, is him doing his own podcasting. So it's, again, a form of communication where you can do your own thing, share it with other people, and where he gets real. And the Better Call Daddy podcast, that's what we want to do. We want to share real stories. We want to be able to feel free of networks or people putting certain criteria that you must follow, and just letting it all hang out and see where it goes and see if we can all gain a little wisdom together and share our experiences. And this episode with Cam is really pointing out that it's not only good for you, but it's good therapy as well. And just like you can find the blame game or you can find faults in everything, if you have a way of communicating where it doesn't matter, it's a form of expression that is just very natural. And if you want it under someone else's scope and you can do it, great. But if not, do it yourself. It shouldn't hold you back. If you have issues or problems, talk them out. And if somebody doesn't react well to them, find someone else. But still, don't let it all stay bottled up, is what he's trying to tell you. That still being natural as much as you can be without criteria is his way of having freedom and really being even keel with himself.
What did you think of his experience being on the Cheaters show?
I thought that that was kind of crazy a little bit, but it goes to show you that he really likes more of telling the truth, that cheating or being the bad guy is not really his thing. But he got a good experience out of it, didn't he?
Yeah, he did. I liked that story.
It was interesting. But, you know, they have these game shows now, you know, where they have people competing and lying, you know, like on these desert islands, you know, to survive. And I would like to think that we could find a way to survive without all having to kill each other. As you know, it's easy to get the blahs when you got 300 rockets and drones falling on your head that you have to knock and pick off, which went on last night. And it's very easy that when things are going bad or people are not being truthful and being sincere, I guess the word is also being sincere. You know, sometimes a person can have an accident, but they don't always tell you the story exactly right. It reminds me of going to camp, and the exercise was that you would tell 20 sentences to the guy next to you. Then he takes that information and tells the person next to him the 20 sentences that you just said. But it's from memory, not where you read it to him. And it goes down the line, down the line, down the line. And by the time you get to the 20th person, it's back to you. And you'd be surprised how the story has changed from the original story to the story that you're told back. I remember in camp when that happened, it had nothing to do with the original subject. It was a completely wild, crazy story that got delivered. We're talking about just telling the story for two to three minutes to the person next to you, then the next to you, then the next to you. And by the time it comes back to you, it's a completely different story. And Cam wants to tell you in a nice way, is tell your story. Let's all have a voice that can be heard. And let's not worry about all the details of criteria to block it out. Stop blaming everybody. Stop feeling cranky about everything. And just let it all hang out. And at least that's what I got out of the show, is to let it all hang out. And the podcasting is a beautiful way to communicate with others.
I agree. I mean, what would happen if we didn't have to distill down our truth? I actually like thinking about that. If we didn't have to edit it a certain way, if we didn't have to have certain guests, if we didn't have to cover certain topics, if we could just have conversations with people with no agenda, no pressure.
Well, that's what Cam is trying to tell you, that that's just as much of a good time. And he even mentions that some people, when they get a little older and they got some free time, they want to learn. They would go back to college to take a course. I guess it's pass, fail, or just where they're observing the class. And are they taking it just to waste time? Or are they taking it to also stay attuned to whatever their interests might be or stuff that they've taken before where they want to still stay abreast of whatever profession they might have been in? You know, it could be even medicine where they go back and take a course because they have to, but where they still would like to know how that particular subject is developing further, you know? And I would like to think that it's not a waste of time, that if you have the time to do these things, that it's enriching, just like the podcasting and meeting many different guests or networking with other people. is a form of education and doing it hands-on. I always think that having hands-on education works sometimes just as well, if not better, than, you know, getting a demonstration on TV or reading a book. That actually hands-on doing it is sometimes the best lesson.
Thanks for listening. Now I think I'm going to go call my dad.
I'll say goodbye and see you the next time.
Thanks for listening to the Better Call Daddy show. Join us weekly for new episodes and more daddy wisdom.
Better Call Daddy is good advice always.
And love you, Grandpa, and love you, Mommy.
That's so cute. Don't forget to like, subscribe, and share. You can also find special episodes on my YouTube channel, and you can listen on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Amazon Music, Alexa,
and Good Pods,
or your preferred podcatcher. That's a wrap for now.